What I'd like to do this morning is just look at a particular word found in 1 John 5 that we are called overcomers. We are people of a great victory. And I just want to encourage you this morning as we go into this new year. Next week I'll be looking at our text for the year. But this Sunday, I just want to remind you of the fact that you are victorious in Christ. We are a privileged people, and I know some of us will be a bit tired from yesterday evening. You might be struggling to keep awake, but there's just a short few words of encouragement, and just about 3 hours, but just to encourage you before dinner. But what I want to bring you to, my conclusion will be, and I'll mention this later, but is I want you to remind you that it is utter madness to lose when we have the power to overcome. It's utter madness to feel a failure in Christ. Positionally, we have conquered Satan, we have conquered death and the world. Yet from a practical standpoint, I want to remind you that we need to claim and exercise that victory over death and Satan and the world every day. And finally, Christians are overcomers. Everyone else in the world is defeated. We are a blessed people. And the more I grow in the Christian faith, the more I look at this wonderful truth that Christ is everything. That this world is nothing without Him. And we need to meditate upon these truths more and more. Now, you know how in life, my brother was talking to his son the other day and gave an illustration. It made things very clear. It's a lovely illustration. You know how when your health is failing, and it really gets you down, doesn't it? You know when your marriage isn't what you wish it was, and you're really living as you should be. You want a better mind to be able to grasp the scriptures, maybe. Your life is it's just almost feeling as if it's passing you by, etc. And these things are so important. The Bible speaks about the fact that we should encourage one another about that coming day, that day when Christ will come. Paul talks to the Thessalonian church and about this. And he talks about the fact that John talks here about the reminding us of what we are in Christ. And Robert said to his son Morgan, he's talking about heaven. And he said, you see, heaven's like this. Just imagine for a moment, he said, you've got a young lady. So Morgan's about, I don't know, 14, 15, and he says, you've got a young lady and you're taking her out on a date, and when you're that age, that's everything, and it just consumes your mind. And he said, just for a moment, I say to you, Morgan, I've got a check here, God's been good and blessed us, and I've got a check here for you for £50,000. And he said, you can go and cash that if you want, whenever. And he said, what would you do? And he said, Morgan, suddenly, you can see his mind going around thinking of what he could buy. And Robert said, what about your girlfriend? Oh, that can wait. That can wait. And you see, when we put our victory in Christ in its context, when we grasp the wonder of heaven, all these earthly things fade away. And you know, the reason they are so important to us, the reason tomorrow is so important to us, the reason the things of this world grip us, is because Christ isn't. Because the coming of our Saviour isn't as important as it should be in our hearts, and we're not where we should be as a Christian. But I just want to look this morning at what it is to be victorious and what it is to be an overcomer. And if we can grasp this, it just puts so many things into perspective in our lives. The first John chapter 5:1-5, it shows us the victorious life, and the Bible has many terms to describe those who have entered into this personal relationship. And if you love the Lord, and people at work know that you love the Lord, or people in your family know that you love the Lord, they'll have terms, won't they, for you? I don't know, Bible bashing, or I remember as a young lad, within weeks of me being at college, I was called Moses. And where did they get that from? These are godless lads, and yet they seem to cotton on to these things. And there are different terms, and you read the scriptures, and there in Acts, they're called, the Christians were called people of the way. That signified that they were different. You know, and what's happened in these days in this country, and you listen to the Archbishop's speech, and you listen to some of the ministers, and they've become beige, haven't they? They've become an insipid colour that you don't know where they stand. Is Christ the head of the church? Is Christ truly the Lord of glory? Or is he the church's puppet? Is the Word of God really a living letter? Or is it just some ancient artifact that they refer to now and again? But you see, when you truly live the life of Christ, as they did in the New Testament there, they were different. And they were called people of the way. We're also called in John, the children of God, the children of light. Again, children of God, it shows your position, who you are. You know, you're looking on, you're watching the television, and you know who Prince Charles is, and who Prince Harry and these people are. You know who they are, you know who they're related to. They're related to the Queen. And there's something different about them. They've got the finances, and they've got the country behind them. And they're protected, and you see them there, and they have all the security around them. And you see, we're not some little prince that's been born with a silver spoon. We are the children of the God of heaven who has created all things. And God has given his angels charge over us. He's given us heavenly food. We feast of the banqueting table. One of the things I've been convicted about over the Christmas time is I don't feel I read the scriptures enough in the church, because some of you here don't read the Bible, and the only time you get to hear the scriptures is here. And the Lord has said very clearly, you need to read the scriptures. And it's no excuse. If you say to me, I can't read, it's no excuse, not today, because we're MP3 players. You can have the Word of God in any shape or form you like today. No excuse. It's heavenly food, and we need it. And you see, when we are children of the way, children of God, we will feast of it. We're called in Ephesians, children of the light. In Thessalonians, children of the day, as opposed to those of the night. We are called there in Peter, children of obedience, and here in this passage we are known as overcomers of the world. We overcome. And we're not pulled down by the world. And we are strengthened by Christ. And there in verse 4, that's where it's found. It tells us that Christians are overcomers, and only those who are born of God are true overcomers. And the Bible again reminds us that the Word of God and the children of God are an aroma of death to those who don't love the Lord, and an aroma of life to those who do. And you see, if you truly love the Lord, there will be life, and you will change, and you will mature, and you will grow. Now, to overcome literally means to be a victor, to have the victory, to conquer, to have superiority, even to defeat. And we've probably all been there. You remember the last time commentary with the young Tom, they won the FA Cup. And I don't know if you remember where you were. And I remember I was at Ball Hill and I'd come out of my sister-in-law's house and the streets were crowded with sky blue. Everybody was there, they were rejoicing and they were dancing and they were stopping your cars. They were so excited. And you see it in the sense where we should be blown over by what we have in Christ. One of the reasons I don't do dancing and all this in the pulpit and in churches because I feel fleshly and I feel that I could easily take over. But there are times when you begin to grasp what Christ has done for you. You just want to run around and you just want to jump for joy and you just want the world to know. But the most incredible thing in all the world has happened to me. We are so blessed. And in Greek thinking, they believed that the only victory could be achieved by the gods. And not by ordinary people. We couldn't be conquerors. And so this word has a rich in us. It's only the gods that can do it. Well, our God has done it for us, haven't they? Form of the word of overcome is used by the Lord in John 16 when he said, I have overcome the world. This victory that is found. Jesus is saying, look, I have conquered Satan's system. I have conquered this all. I am supreme in it. One of the truths about a Christian is this. Again, it blows your mind that we are in Christ. The Christian has an inseparable union with Christ himself and as a result, he's a partaker in his divine nature. You know, if you were adopted into the family of the Queen, you'd always be an adopted son or a daughter. You would never be of her blood. And yet, through the blood of Christ and what he has done for us, we are heirs and joint heirs of the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes this can be a throwaway phrase. And it's so big. We who are so vile, and when God opens your eyes and you see yourself, you think, wow, I am a partaker of all the riches that God has to give through Christ Jesus. A Christian partakes of everything, including his inheritance, his righteousness, Christ's death and life and the Holy Spirit. And since we have this union with Christ, we also partake in his victory. So we are victors. We are overcomers. And we need to remind ourselves of that daily. But what does being an overcomer give us? One of the things Christians have to overcome is Satan. And you know, again, as I said at Christmas, I'm not going to spend endless hours on proving the virgin birth. I'm not going to spend now endless hours proving there is a devil. There is a devil, and this is what the Word of God says. And we have to believe it. And as you read there in Revelation 6, verse 2, it says that John says, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he, the Antichrist, who sat on it, had a bow and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And a form of the Greek word to overcome is used here. He went forth as victor to gain a victory. It says, he's saying that Satan will seem to have the victory and he will cause some devastating things. And we look at the mess of the world. And there are Christians who get sucked into this idea that Satan is overcoming. That Satan is ruling this world in such a way that God has lost his grip. Well, the Bible lets us know, look, it will look as if he has. There in Revelation 13 verse 7 it says, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kinds and tongues and nations. Satan will make war with the saints. The minute you say, we're going to stand on the word of God, you will have problems as a church. Yeah, make a New Year's resolution. I'm not into all that, but you may say, look, I want to give myself to Christ. I wasted last year. I have a friend now who's saying yesterday, this week, as a church, having it as a time of prayer and fasting to remind themselves and to get themselves back in tune with the things of Christ. Because, and there are times when you do that, and the minute you do that, the minute you say, I want to read my Bible every day, the minute you say, I want to give myself to prayer, Satan's sitting in it. Or one of his minions, they come and they want to stop us. They don't want us rejoicing. You know? If I fell out with Dougie, not that we ever would, because we're good friends. But if just imagine I fell out with him, Satan would be saying to me, don't make up with him. What would the Lord be saying? You treat the brother and you love him. But I would, says the Satan, says to my mind. But we have to overcome this. And you see, the minute you say that we can love one another unconditionally, what will Satan do? He will bring issues in. He will bring things from the past. He will do all kinds of things to destroy what God has done. But ultimately, again, I just love the Bible. It just reminds you again and again of the fact that we're on the victory side. We read there in Revelation 12 verse 11, it says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. The saints ultimately will gain the victory through the blood of the Lamb, through the Saviour. He is our victor. He is our champion. There in Revelation 15 verse 2 it says, I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name standing on the sea of glass having the heart of God. This is a picture of victorious saints in heaven having conquered Satan. God has given us this victory. We read there in Romans 16 verse 20, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Satan has been defeated at the cross. The ultimate battle has already been won. And so positioning, so ultimately, he has already been defeated. But practically, we learn, don't we, in the Word of God, that we to exercise that victory on a day-to-day basis. We have to do it. We have to take hold of it. We have to remind ourselves every day, I am on the victory side. Yes, my family's falling apart. My job's not the way it was. My health is not the way it was. This country is going to the dogs. And you know all the list of things that fill our minds. We need to get up every day and thank God that he has redeemed us, that we are his. And it's nonsense. Over the years, people have taken away your confidence, to almost talking as if you can lose your salvation, and talking as if the Spirit of God is within you as a Christian. You think, whoa, the Bible tells us clearly that you cannot be born again unless the Spirit of God has taken residence in your heart. The Bible tells you clearly there in Romans 8 that nothing, and there's a whole list of things that will try and separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And he says, nothing will separate you. We are on the victory side. And we need to take hold of it. Don't we? You know, if I have a fraternal in a couple of weeks over in Loughborough. I probably need to go on my push bike. But you'd think I'd be mad setting off at 8 o'clock to get there for 9 o'clock. I'd use my motorbike. It's got the power. 600 horsepower. And it'll get me there any time. And you see, this is the thing. We allow the wise tales of this world. We allow our own imaginations to drive us. And it just makes us dull and worn out. We need to go to the Word of God. We need to make Christ our friend. He is our Saviour. He is our victor. And we need to take hold of His promises. We've also got death, haven't we? We conquered death. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Then this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. We have no fear of death." This is a wonder, isn't it? You know how many times, I'm sure Robert hears, you've sat with someone who doesn't know the Lord. You try to lead them to the Saviour. And they go and you return terrified. They will not turn to Christ. They will not call upon His name. They have no hope. And yet for us here, we love the Lord. There's nothing more blessed than the death of the saint. We don't want them to go. Oh, I hope they have. Oh, what joy fills their hearts that they know that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Present with the victor. Present with the one who shed His blood that we might have life. We have Satan, we have death, and we have the world that we fight against. We have conquered the world. I love that picture, and I know I mention it all the time, there in Pilgrim's Progress. And for me, as a young man growing up, it was an important reminder of Vanity Fair, the bright lights that draw us on. And we're all like it, aren't we? We see the latest thing, and it just captures our mind, doesn't it? I saw something the other day, someone's computer, and for a moment, that's what I need. That's just what I need. And then they began to show me how it worked. And I was thinking, in my mind, it's whizzing around. And I was saying, that's what I need. And we could so easily get sucked in, can't we? And whatever it is, if my family is saved, that will change me. If I read my Bible every day, that will change me. If I do this, that will change. But you see, it won't change you if you don't have the life of Christ within you. And when you come to the Word of God, we're going to seek the face of Jesus. And we're going to seek His presence, because it's by the power of His Spirit that we're able to put things into perspective. That as I commented over that computer, God reminded me of Hebrews 13 and says, don't be covetous for anything, but be content. Be content. And when you're content, what do you know? That the Lord will never leave you nor forsake. That's what's important, Martin. It's a fact that you have a Saviour within you. Don't worry about these things. As Christians, we are victors over the invisible spiritual system of evil that operates in the world to capture men's souls for hell. We are so blessed, we won't go to hell if we're saved. This is the wonder of it. But we can live a rubbish life. Satan will get us as Christians to live a rubbish life. He wants the glory of Christ not to be seen. And if he can do that in us, and if he can make us delay and delay and delay. On my phone, I've got it all set up. I remember talking to young Carol about 2 months ago about doing some Pilates to strengthen my inner core. And I've got it all set up on my phone, and it's there ready to do. And every night I say I'm going to do it. Just before I go to bed, I'm going to do some Pilates. I haven't. And you see, we can be like that as Christians. and you keep putting it off. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Just take hold of what you have, what you have as Peter's. When a person is saved, he is taken out of the clutches of Satan and hell and reserved for heaven. We have conquered the system of the world in Christ. And again, when you look at those first couple of words in chapter 5, it says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You don't have this if you're not born of God. If there's never been a moment in your life when you've trusted in the work of Calvary, you do not have this. You have nothing. You have nothing to hope for. It is our prayer as an eldership, the church, you would taste of these wonderful truths. And you see, this whatever is born of God is in the present tense. In other words, it means that the Christian is continually having victory over the world. It's the habit for the life of the saint to conquer the world system. Every day, like a Roman soldier, you get up and you sort out your kit and you're ready for battle and you're ready to walk in the King's highway. Were you ready this morning? You're ready to give up your all to Christ? Are you ready, even in your difficult situation, are you ready to say, Lord, use me as I am? All that I have. Josh McDowell, wasn't it, that said he'd been abused terribly, and he comes before the Lord and he says to the Lord, Lord, I am an abused, broken man. I'm going to give you that. Will you use it? And God used him mightily. I ask you, my dear friends, are you willing to come to God and say, Lord, use me in my old age? Use me as a young man, use me as a child, use me as. The Lord can do mighty things to those. So it is saints willing to give themselves. And I said that earlier on, didn't I? And I'll remind you again, as we've looked at this passage, we're reminded of this. It is utter madness to lose when we have Christ within us. Cannot lose. You're on the victory side. Positionally, we have conquered Satan, death and the world. We have this amazing life to live. Christians, you are on the victory side. Everyone else is defeated. And this should be our prayer, Lord. As your soldiers, give us a word to speak in season, that others might know what I know. I just want to encourage you as we close now and come to our final hymn. As we see, it's the newer version of Amazing Grace. If you love the Lord, your chains are gone. You're free to live for Christ. But if you don't, maybe you need to pray, Lord, I'm blind to this, I don't fully understand it. Lord, in your mercy, would you just open my eyes. Number 1702. Amazing Grace. How sweet. Father in heaven, if we don't grasp anything this year, Lord, we pray that we would grasp the wonder of grace. The Lord, that we would grasp what you have done for us. Lord, maybe we need to have a vision of hell. Lord, maybe we need to grasp the awfulness of what we've been saved from. Oh Lord, we pray that you would feed our hearts, and that the Lord, that we would indeed live as men and women of victory. Victory found in Jesus Christ, humble servants of the Almighty. Oh, blessed God, we thank you that we have so much to look forward to. We have so much to live for. We have such a certain hope. Oh Lord. Oh Spirit of God, feed our hearts and minds. Oh, make the Word of God more real to us day by day. Fill us with your presence, we pray. And ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.